Tony Pente. Tony, good morning. What is up?
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
All right. And before we get to the minor leagues and the success stories and the disappointments of 2024, let's get to the Orioles, who were very successful. First half of the season, first place of the All-Star break. Best record in baseball for a while there. They've 8 games below 500 since June 20th. Your opinion of why things have gone as poorly as they have. We know the excuses, reasons, but your take in a very informed one of that as to why they sit here 5 out of the division, still in a wild card spot, but no longer threats, it seems, to win the World Championship.
Yeah, I mean, obviously injuries, you know, they can call them excuses, but it is the reality. You know, it's been a lot of injuries that have occurred. And right, you know, since the All-Star break, or I'm sorry, since the trading deadline, you know, losing Grayson Rodriguez and Westberg like back-to-back, I think was a significant blow. And when you look at the team's gone 19-24 since then, I think some of the trades that were made obviously did not help the team. And when you look at the Rodgers trade, the Jimenez, you know, Soto trades, none of those trades help the team. I mean, Eflin trade, yeah, definitely. He was on DL for a little bit, and he certainly, couldn't even imagine where this team would have been if Eflin wasn't acquired. And of course, they got Eflin for next year as well. So that was a great trade. But when you look at the others, not much has really worked out well. I mean, Dominguez trade was okay. He's been all right. You really don't, but you still get a little scared when, you know, there's a one run lead with him because he gives up homers a little too much for my liking. But yeah, it's been a struggle because of the injuries. Obviously, his team hasn't hit in the least bit. It's a terrible clutch team. I mean, there's just no other way of saying it. And it's really a struggle right now. And it's sad to see them kind of implode. And the only hope is that somehow, some way, this will turn around when the playoffs start. Because I still think this team's going to go into playoffs in the wild card.
Now, of the prospects that were traded away, Tony, in the trade deadline, and the Orioles are as aggressive as any team, who's the one that got away in your eyes?
Well, when you look at, you know, some of the guys that went, I mean, Ballmeister really has really started pitching well when he got to Tampa. The velocity ticked up. The stuff looked really good. Tampa was letting him go a little bit longer than the Orioles were. You know, he was a second-round pick, and he was a guy that we had, you know, probably would have been in the top 10 at this point after some of the guys that graduated. So, you know, he's probably the top guy when you look at the guys going. And I think that's significant. You know, Elias has gone mainly to drafting college bats in his strategies. The thought is that you can trade some of these bats for pitching. But when you see the top end pitchers, Burns and Eflin, those guy kind of guys going back, pitchers are going back for them. In the Burns trade, you had D.L. Hall had to go. And then, of course, in this trade for Eflin, you know, Ballmeister, who was probably the Orioles' top pitching prospect, had to go as well. So, So I think he's the guy that you know, again, it's going to takes talent to get talent. And I like the Eflin trade because I think he is a guy that could sit at the top of your rotation.
Yeah, and he signed through next year, so that makes you relax just a little bit. How much has Trevor Rogers improved down on the farm since the Orioles sent him back a few weeks ago?
Well, he's had a good start, a couple of good starts. He had a really awful one, obviously, when he first went down. But, you know, he's a guy that is starting to throw the ball a little better. The velocity is still down, though. I mean, he's still sitting 89, 91, you know. The changeup has looked a little better of late. You know, changeup was really, really bad when he showed up here, and that was supposed to be really his top pitch. So when you have, you know, your top pitch not really working on you, you don't have a lot of velocity, and he didn't show a lot of great command, that's not a good recipe at the major league level. So, again, I think he's a guy that's not going to probably help too much. Maybe he can find a way to get back up here if somebody else gets hurt or something like that. And maybe he can throw a couple of, you know, maybe a start here or there going long relief at the end of this year. But I think he's a guy that got a hope over the offseason. They can figure out some things for him and get him back the way he was about 2 or 3 years ago when he was one of the better pitchers in the National League.
Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Total Request Thursday. Let's get to the farm. Let's start with the good. We know who the prospect, we know about, Mayo and Holiday and Norby and all these guys. We're very much aware, Tony, obviously, but let's get an idea on the Basayos and the Bradfords and the Dillon Beavers of the world, which prospect really solidified themselves as prospects and hopefuls for the Orioles maybe as soon as next year?
Yeah, I think Basayo is that guy. I mean, Basayo is definitely the guy that solidified himself with a great, you know, he really picked it up at the second half of the season at Bowie. Being one of the youngest players in the league, he was one of the best hitters in the league by the time he was promoted to AAA. And he's hung in there up in AAA. Again, he's probably one of the youngest, if not the youngest guy in AAA right now. So he's way ahead of the curve. This is a multi-power guy. He can hit to all fields. He's, you know, obviously being a catcher, he's got a great arm, and he, I think he's improved in his receiving this year. I know some folks have some other observers and evaluators aren't real thrilled with his defensive ability, but I don't think it's anything that it's awful receiving back there. It's going to, you know, cause the team problems. So I think he's a guy that's going to be able to catch some. I think because of the bat, you're not going to want him back there all the time. You're going to want to have him playing over first base, which he's actually a pretty solid first baseman overall. So, you know, I think that he's the guy that really stands out this year. Enrique Bradfield Jr. is another one that really was having kind of a maybe even a below average season in the beginning of the year at Aberdeen. Started bringing it on, moved up to Bowie, and really hit the ball well since he's been up in Bowie. And that's a guy that's a plus center fielder. He's probably, if we're really talking about, he's going to be that Mullins replacement. He's not going to have the power of Mullins, but he's going to be much faster. He's going to steal more bases, and he's going to be probably just as good as a defensive outfit. Fielder as Mullins is.
Now, on the opposite side of things, who were some of the prospects high hopes for going into 24 that may have disappointed here this season?
Yeah, I think the biggest name that comes to me is Luis De Leon, the left-handed starter that was really high on our list. This is a guy that was throwing 94 to 96 with a bowling ball, fastball that caused, you know, many ground balls. He had a pretty good slider, and his changeup was starting to come on last year, and the command started doing well. He started the year really well in Delmarva and went to Aberdeen and looked like he forgot how to pitch. Just the command completely left him. He lost the feel of his changeup. The slider really has really, really good movement, but he lost the command of that as well. And it just really kind of all snowballed on him throughout the season. And he just really didn't take that step up we were hoping to see this year. So he's probably the first guy that stands out to me. I think Dillon Beavers has had a very disappointing season at Bowie. He was a guy we hope would take a step up in power, a step up in really trying to really solidify himself as a prospect. And he really kind of quite the opposite, you know, moving himself down the list. And really the only reason why he's still hanging around that top 10 is just because they've graduated a lot of guys off this list. And realistically, the guys coming into the system this year, you know, the Vance Honeycutts, the Griffel Farrells, the Ethan Andersons, these are guys that we just haven't seen enough of yet. And you know, again, they're going to have to prove themselves next year in their first full season.
Tony Pente, what's happening at OrielsHangout.com?
We're talking about all these prospects that you're seeing. We're going to get ready to do our in-depth scouting reports. We usually go out to 75. So if you're looking to talk about the Orioles or the Orioles minor leagues, OrielsHangout.com message board is the place to do it in a nice, calm environment.
They're always calm. There's rational thinkers on those message boards there. Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. Appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Bob, thanks for having me.
All right, man. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off the next couple of days. We'll come back, whip around, talk about what's happening in the world of sports currently, what happened historically for the Ravens, Colts, and Orioles. And then Mike Bordick's joining us. There's a rational, calm, thought-out process kind of guy. He's an Oriole Hall of Famer. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Or is Bordy going to run hot like Nolan? You'll find out at 11:30.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 1057 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Vinny's off the next 2 days. Bob Hades, Nolan McGraw, we got you covered here. Whip around, Maryland hosting Villanova this Saturday. College football at noon. Terps coming off that win, come from behind at Virginia last Saturday. 2-1 on the year. The Wildcats are 3-0. Edge the Towson Tigers last weekend, 14-13. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with Keith Cavanaugh. Get updated on college basketball recruiting as Kevin Willard. Media day for college basketball is in less than a month. Yeah, that's coming at you like a flurry of right hands. Speaking of flurry of right hands, heavyweight boxing, IBF heavyweight championship, which is vacant because Alexander Usyk was stripped of his title after unifying them against Tyson Fury back in May. But Daniel Dubois takes on Anthony Joshua in London. DAZN pay-per-view. It's actually a pretty cool fight card for all you boxing fans out there. And the cool thing about the fights being in London, the main event's at like 6. So you don't have to stay up till midnight in Vegas to watch this nonsense. You can watch it during the day leading into your college football evening. Or depending on who your favorite baseball team is. And all the fun stuff that goes there. So if you're a fan of the pugilism, there's a heavyweight championship fight coming up Saturday. By the way, Usyk has defeated both Joshua and Dubois during his career. Joshua twice. As a matter of fact, this day in sports history, how about September 19th, 1974? 50 years ago, Yankee Stadium. Orioles taking on the Yanks. Don Baylor went yard. Bobby Grich drove in 2. Dave McNally, 3-hit shutout, 7-0 Orioles as they would take over first place and would roll. Well, didn't roll because things got dicey down the stretch, but would win the American League's Eastern Division Championship, won 28-6 down the stretch to do so. And this was one of the big victories there. 2012 Orioles in Seattle. Jonesy! Adam Jones, 2-run jack, top of the 11th. Mark Reynolds had a ribby. Luis Ayala, remember him? He got the win. Jim Johnson, his 45th save. Orioles 3-1 over the Mariners on their way to the wild card, which they won. And then the ALDS, which they lost in 5 games to the Yankees. A year ago today, remember the good old days of like a year ago? In Houston, Austin Hayes hit 2 home runs. Ryan O'Hearn, Heston Kerstedt both went deep. D.L. Hall got the win. And C.N.L. Perez picked up the save as the Orioles beat Houston 9-5. Austin Hayes now in Philly. D.L. Hall now in Milwaukee. And the Orioles now lost 4 series in a row. Today in Baltimore Colts history, 1976, Memorial Stadium. Great game. Blacked out in Baltimore. Because I remember I was 11 years old listening to it on the radio. I hear all the Colts, home games were blacked out. Think you guys got it good. You young people, there is no blackout rule. You can watch all the games. We had to listen to Colts home games on the radio unless they were sold out 72 hours in advance.
But now we've gone too far the other way where all the streaming services and you got to have this subscription subscription. So we had a happy medium there for a while, and now we're going too far the other way.
Yeah, good point there, Nolan McGraw. But anyway, the Colts 28-27. Cincinnati was good. Kenny Anderson and all them guys. Burt Jones, 3 touchdowns to Roger Carr, 2 of them over 60 yards. And Burt Jones threw missiles. Anyone with a clue knows that he has one of the greatest arms in the history of quarterbacks in the National Football League. Roosevelt Leaks rushed for a TD, 28-27. Colts on their way to their second straight AFC East championship. And then 3 years ago today, now the Ravens didn't make the playoffs in 2021. But on this Sunday night against Kansas City at M&T Bank Stadium, they beat the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson, touchdown to Hollywood, rush for a TD. Latavius Murray, rush for a touchdown as well. 36-35. The Ravens beat the Chiefs, and I believe, Nolan, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the only time Lamar has beaten Kansas City in their head-to-head matchups there.
You would be correct. Huge play by Adafe Owe at the end there. The forced fumble and recovery on Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, you remembered that?
Well, it's just a couple of years ago.
I remember that 50-year-ago thing, but yesterday or last year, hell no. That was Owe's rookie season, correct, 21? Because he flashed against the Raiders, which they lost. And then the big play, you're right. And then the rest of the year was kind of, okay. But Owe having a good year so far here in 2024 as we talk about that. But that was 3 years ago tonight at M&T Bank Stadium. When we come back, talk more about the Orioles. They got the Giants coming up at 105. Oriole Park, Cannon Yards, trying to avoid the sweep. Come on. It's like broken record stuff. They've lost four straight series. They're terrible offensively. I mean, even when they get halfway decent pitching, they can't score. So we'll see what Zach Eflin brings to the equation. He has Logan Webb. We'll talk to Mike Bordick about that. Fun house, 11:45. And then we're going to feed you some football multiple times. How about some news from the Nest? John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, going to hear from them. Buy or sell, we're going to count some money, a little interlude, but still bringing some football discussions there. The sports of a Thursday, Cordell Woodland, we're previewing the Cowboys matchup with him. Back to baseball, American League East report. Then we're feeding you more football with NFL Lunch. Then we're going to do our picks because NFL starts today or tonight, week 3, game you can hear on The Fan. Jets taking on the Patriots. And then Mike Harmon, going to talk real and fantasy football with him from Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I want your flex. You like fantasy football, and who doesn't? He's got you covered later in the show. Might not be pretty, so if you're an Oriole fan, don't want to hear the negativity, cover your ears. Oriole Hall of Famer, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joins us every Thursday. He'll be with me tomorrow down at Pickles Pub for the final regular season BBT from Pickles, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up?
Bob, how are you, man? I am so looking forward to tomorrow night. I mean, the place is going to be rocking. Let's go. Everybody's got to come down to Pickle.
Yeah, that's right. This is the last home game. Oh, now let me advise again, Mike, because we dealt with this a little bit last evening. When we have headphones on, we're on the air. Can't hear what you're saying. No idea what you're talking about. When we have headphones off, let's frolic. But headphones on the air. Remember that. It's not rocket science. Apparently it's hard for some people to digest. And look, another loss last night. We try to look for positives, but I guess it's kind of difficult right now, Mike, when they've lost 8 of 10. They're 8 games below 500 for almost 3 calendar months here. 5 games out of first. Just 2 weeks ago, they were a half game up. McCann's gaffe. I mean, where do we start with what happened last night? And it just seems you keep thinking they've hit rock bottom, and then the next game happens, and something happens.
Yeah, these things show up, don't they, when a team's going bad, right? I mean, come on, James McCann missing home plate. What's funny about it? Well, it was terrible. It was a game-changing play, obviously, and I'm sure he felt terrible about it. But when he talked to the umpire, he said, he showed his foot. He goes, my foot was on the plate just like this. And he was obviously about an inch off the whole way. So his foot was preset in front of the plate. Now, check this out. I mean, because of the new rule change, the first instinct for a catcher now is you better clear the plate, right? So that is every first catcher's thought. Like, I've got to clear the plate because I don't want to be, obstruction or in the line of the runner. So their first instinct is not to touch the plate, which I'm sure it used to be when there was a forced play. Now they line up to protect the base runner.
Now, Brandon Hyde said after the game, and Hyder was a catcher coming up through the minor league ranks there, that, with the cleats, you can't get a real feel for the plate. Mike, you've touched the plate many times, scoring runs at the major league level and every other level you played, baseball or softball, whatever it is. Are you buying that one?
Yeah, no, I think catchers are taught now to stay away from the plate. You know, this is not now the same game it was back when Brandon Hyde was catching, when it was protect the plate at all costs.
Sure.
You know, get your body in front of it and make sure for you know, that you have your foot down. You know, I think it's funny that even out in the middle of the infield, the game's kind of evolved because of the rules. You know, it used to be where the shortstop would drag his foot behind the base, just kind of kick it. Now they have to make sure their foot is on the base, so just about every shortstop steps on top of it. And I think also to shorten the distance of the throw. So, so a couple, you know, the evolution of the game, the first thought, right, of all these catchers now is not to protect the plate, but to look out, get off the plate. And that actually came, I was talking to an old catcher that, a great friend of mine, that caught in the minor leagues, and he thought that too. He said it's just an evolution of how the game has kind of changed because, you know, back when he was catching, the first thought for a catcher is always to protect the plate, guard the plate. So,
Bordy, the Orioles 2-for-10, runners in scoring position. Brandon Hyde said after the game he thought the approach was a little bit better. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I thought they had better at bats. I thought they had a really good game plan against Birdsong. You know, they worked the count on him. I thought he was going to have an earlier exit, but here again, we always, it's just like one hit away, right, to break something open or one play that goes in the other direction against the Orioles right now. So, you know, McCann made the gaffe, and then of course, the Orioles offense, even though the at-bats were better, the big hits are still just missing. So they need more of those timely hits, but certainly better at-bats last night, and they better be on their game today. Find some holes, you know, because they're probably going to be hitting a lot of ground balls. How about a little luck get on their side, though, today?
Yeah, and Logan Webb, he's the sinker ball dude, isn't he, for San Francisco?
Sure is. One of the best in the game. And, you know, he's a guy that's kind of endured because I think a lot of analytic pitching guys kind of got away from that sinker because they thought that it goes right into the power hitter's bat path. But are you kidding me? If you get a good sinker ball that has a good downward movement, especially down and in and then down and away on a lefty, I mean, man, oh, man, you're going to have success. And he's probably lost some velocity, but when you still have that kind of movement, you're just inducing contact, and you can last in games longer and get double plays. So that's his game plan. Let's see if the Orioles can adjust and maybe put some pressure on him early. I like the idea of obviously situational baseball to get the offense back. Hit and runs, man. It's lost, but those things sometimes spark teams. They help down hitters to focus on the ball more and put the ball in play. And they need some sort of spark. Maybe I'm grasping. I know they depend on the home run ball. Maybe a little too much here lately, but they got to find a way today against Webb.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney on this total request. Thursday, Orioles take on the Giants, 105, trying to avoid the sweep. And we know that Brandon Hyde likes to play the percentages and the matchups. Last night, Holiday made good contact for the first time in a while. Got pinch hit four. I mean, is it, you just talked about maybe playing some small ball to shake it up. Could you maybe just start playing hunches more than analytic cards, just trying to get something rolling here for them offensively?
Yeah, I think he's throwing the bones, man, before the game now. I know there are lineups that come down, you know, from the analytic department that show the percentages and who'll probably have the best case. But, you know, these are the type of situations where Brandon Hyde's got to kind of go feel it, trust his gut, you know, as a manager and see the guys that are putting together those really good at-bats, understand, you know, how they are mentally. Do they have that confidence? Do they have a little bit of an edge about them right now? Do they want those at-bats right now? And managers have good feels for that. And I always thought Brandon Hyde had a good feel for his players. So, you know, I think we've always looked for a more consistent lineup. But, hey, he's looking for guys that are going to be able to put together good at-bats. I think we're going to see a similar lineup last night, to be honest with you. I thought some of those bats were a lot better.
Mike Bordick, last thing for you. And look, the Tigers are coming to town starting tomorrow. They've been doing some damage here. They're just a half a game out of the wild card chase. And we talked about it during BBT that, you know, they're very similar, I guess, to the 22 Orioles, where they made a run, got into it. They might actually get a playoff spot. We saw him last weekend. Going to see him again tomorrow for the final home series of the year. What's dangerous about them right now as they're making a real strong push to get to the playoffs?
Boy, every part of them, isn't it? It's unbelievable what confidence can do to players. And, I mean, there isn't a team that believes in themselves more than I think for the Tigers right now. I mean, they're coming up with big hits. Some of their young players are just rising to the occasion. That lefty is Riley that's hitting the home runs now. Oh, my gosh. His swing is on time and ready to hit home runs. And they're getting great pitching, man. To see Skubal last night with that energy that he was bringing against the Royals, I mean, they all have that look, too. There's a fire in their eye, and they are they're a hungry, hungry team. I mean, they just obviously took down a team that's in front of them, swept the Royals,
yep.
who they themselves were on a pretty good roll and looking to try to take over the Orioles. But it just seems like right now the Tigers are the team to beat. And these guys don't even have, like, a full rotation. They're doing it with guys out of the bullpen and having, you know, pitching backwards and all kinds of crazy stuff right now. But they all believe in what they're doing, and there's a lot of smiling faces right now.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, live from Pickles Pub. It's our last regular season show of the year, believe it or not. So come on down, say hello. Bordy, always appreciate the time, and I'll see you tomorrow in downtown Baltimore.
All right, looking forward to it, Bob. Thanks.
You got it. Bordy there. We're getting ready to rock and roll. Weather's going to be nice. Weather's nice today. Orioles 105 taking on the Giants. We'll keep you up to date on the score through the final hour of our show. But when we come back, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, and then news from the Nest. The other birds, they're in trouble, too. They're 0-2. 0-3 would be unacceptable. During the final hour of our program, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Nolan, get in here. Say hi to the people. What's on your mind after the first 2 hours of the show?
Well, we called it yesterday, did we not, with the Orioles facing Hayden Birdsong. I had mentioned before the show ended that the last time the Giants had won a game in which Hayden Birdsong was on the mound, you got to go all the way back to the end of July, July 27th to be exact. He was abysmal all through the month of August. Not great to start September. So go figure. Who didn't see this coming? 5 2/3 last night. 3 earned runs. Gets the job done. Gives his team a victory.
Yep. And you knew kind of the law of averages would catch up to you in regards to him. He's got good stuff. He's just a little erratic. No denying that. Now you have Jacob Webb today. And Eflin, call me pessimistic. But again, large sample size of ineptitude for them offensively. I could see Eflin going 7 innings, 2 runs, maybe 3, and the Orioles still taking it on the chin here because they can't score.
Right. I mean, that's just what it's been. You know, at, 9 of the last 10, 3 runs or less. That one was a win where you got 5 runs.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even this crazy, you know, 7-8 double-digit run day. Your high watermark was 5 runs. That should kind of be your baseline.
That was their kind of average runs mm-hmm. per game there in right. the first 2.5 months. What's your DEFCON level for the Ravens? And we'll do our picks tomorrow. We'll talk more about the Ravens coming up in a matter of minutes. But your concern level getting in a little more concerning?
Moderate. But the thing about the Ravens is, I mean, you know, I think I said it the other day, both games come down to the final drive. They could be easily 2-0 just as easily. They're sitting here 0-2. So, obviously, 0-2 is a big difference. Puts you behind the eight ball. You got to make up a lot of ground in the back half of the season. But the way the team's structured, they're certainly capable of that. And some of the concerns that I had, particularly pass rush, I've been pleasantly surprised about. So, the team, there's nothing stopping this team, the Ravens, that is, from being good besides themselves.
Yeah, and
clean up some of the small stuff, some of the stupid stuff. They'll start rolling out some wins.
Yeah, Lamar said that himself, and we'll hear that in a couple of minutes. But I don't see Dallas running on them. So no. It's going to have to be a Dak Prescott game. And if the Ravens do have somewhat of a pass rush, maybe it's the purple Kool-Aid. Maybe because the orange Kool-Aid's so bitter, the purple's starting to taste a little bit sweeter. But I'm feeling rather confident in victory coming up Sunday.
And not to dismiss Dallas's offense there, but Raiders, Chiefs, their offense, the weapons they have compared to what Dallas presents. We know what CeeDee Lamb can do, but beyond right. him, you mentioned the run game. It's two guys that are over the hill, not doing anything. I guess their tight end is still
practice. Yeah, Ferguson practice yesterday.
He's decent enough, but yeah. besides Lamb, not really anybody that really scares you. So you would think for the.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Funhouse or no?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws, Funhouse.
Galloping all the way. Here comes Quick Draws, the
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here from Howard in Baltimore, who says, I jumped off the Orioles cliff yesterday. I don't regret it. I can now watch the games with low expectations. They're no longer disappointing me. Goes on to here to say, welcome to the blooper reel for James McCann. Maybe he needs to wear Isaiah Likely's cleats. Your foot may have been touching the plate with a couple extra inches.
Yeah, there. How about that? If the roles were reversed, the Ravens would be at least 1-1, and the Orioles would at least have an out in that inning. Look, you could say you're done and your expectations are lowered, as are mine. But let's say Mike Yastrzemski hits a leadoff home run today. I'm not going to feel good about that. And I'll probably be venting as it's happening in real time. And once we get to the playoffs, bet your ass you're going to be rooting for them to win.
Right.
Because Arizona made it to the World Series last year. Texas had a losing record on the road. And I don't think they lost a road game in the playoffs, at least getting to the World Series. So get to the playoffs, reset. Unfortunately, they're not going to get that 4 days off as division champs because Yankees might be popping that cork this weekend.
This texter says the O's need to try to get a few high average on base percentage players in the offseason if they really want to succeed. Even when they're completely healthy on offense, it's just too one-dimensional.
And last year was the opposite. They were very good with runners in scoring position. I mean, Adley's a 370, 380 on-base percentage guy. Gunner's a guy that gets on base. Mounty, especially against left-handers, would rake and get walked. And yeah, but this year it took a dramatic dip, and they were, I don't know the exact number, I apologize, like 17th in homers last year, but still found ways to win, and they were great with the come-from-behind victories. I mean, this year, yeah, to the texter's point, it's all or nothing. But for 2.5 months, that all was, again, let in runs, let in homers, let in OPS. They did a lot of good things offensively for a lot of time.
There was a talking point in the offseason, how do we get more power in the lineup? Because you're right, outside of Anthony Santander, no power to be found last year.
Yeah, well, Gunner brought the 20, high 20s homer, and Adley was the 20-ish dude. But for them to lead the majors in home runs for as long as they did, yeah, I didn't expect to see that one.
This texter here, running hot, says, you have the number one overall pick in the draft. He's still only 21 years old, and Hyde replaces him yet again for a pinch hitter last night. Apparently, Hyde doesn't think that Holiday is worthy of facing left-handed pitching. I'm done with the manager and the BS analytics.
Well, the entire team right now stinks against lefties, so to kind of agree with the texter, why not? We just talked about it with Mike Bordick. Bleep these matchups and analytic things. Just go with your hunch. Holiday is batting eighth today. Starting lineup. And, you know, if he's got some exit velo, a couple of knocks, leave him in there, even if there's a lefty late in the ballgame.
And I'm not usually somebody that is quick to jump to conclusions and say that, oh, you know, Jackson Holiday's hanging his head last night. This is bad for his mental confidence and everything. But at the same time, I mean, the texter makes a great point there. This guy's a first overall pick draft pedigree, tore it up through the minors. He's here now. He's in the majors. He has to get better, but he is a major leaguer. What does it say when you don't let him face a left-handed pitching after he had given you two quality at-bats earlier in the night?
Nolan, I'm hearing what you're saying. And Levon Soto, who had gotten starts, what, three consecutive games prior to that? This guy, I think the Orioles DFA'd four times. And then wound up trading for it. All right, anyway, we'll come back, talk about the Ravens. News from the Nest. Going to hear from Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh. Buy or sell, let's count that late week money, hopefully at 12:15. Cordell Woodland previews the Ravens and Cowboys. Ravens favorite on the road in Big D. Got the AL East report and beyond coming up. We'll give you the standings and the schedule for today's Thursday slate. NFL lunch, more Ravens. We'll do our picks starting for week three. Well, tonight's game, we'll get in all of the picks in earnest tomorrow. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk about the fantasy picks, daily fantasy tonight, and some sleepers possibly for week three.